The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So we had the shock yesterday to discover that the number of new confirmed COVID-19 infections had gone up to 307, the highest number since mid-May. If that was to continue, what would the government do? Priscilla Lynch, clinical editor with the Medical Independent, is with us. Priscilla, I think it's 6 o'clock tonight where we have the press conference with the latest figures. But if there were to be similar numbers, how much of a shock do you think might that be to the system and to future reopening hopes, particularly for the pubs?
Yeah, I suppose obviously the reopening of the pubs is causing some concern about among those working in public health, given the ongoing rise in cases in the last number of weeks, particularly in the Dublin region. And I suppose the return as well of colleges in the coming weeks as well is triggering a concern about the reopening of pubs at around the same time and the risks that that could be in relation to outbreaks and whatnot. But we have been told that, you know, we have to take things in context as well. With these numbers, and that the numbers of people who are in hospital has remained stable enough. There are 50 people in hospital with COVID-19 confirmed at the moment and 6 in ICU. These numbers are considered stable and low, even though they are higher than a couple of months ago. And then again, our overall rate over the last 14 days is at roughly about 33 per 100,000. So it depends in the next few days how many cases we see per day and obviously the concentration of where they are. But we have been told by the Taoiseach and by public health experts it's not necessarily going to be a case that there's going to be more regional lockdowns, such as the county lockdown faced by Kildare and Offaly and Laois in recent weeks. They're looking at trying to fine-tune the response to these particular outbreaks, to track them down and to deal with them in a more nuanced way. So we're going to hear more about that in the long-term plan in dealing with COVID-19 that the government is going to launch next week. So it's hoped that they've seen an increase in testing, obviously, in the last number of weeks. And in the last 7 days, we've tested the most that we've tested ever. We've tested nearly 72,000 people for COVID-19 in the last week. And that's seen as crucial as to trying to avoid county lockdowns, that testing is going to be rapid and that it's going to be widely available, and that can hopefully stop having to lock down people, that they can identify who is most at risk and advise extra measures there. There are other things they consider as well, not just about local restrictions in a county, that they can try and limit the amount of people that people are meeting on a day-to-day basis, and some restrictions perhaps in certain areas.
Okay, stay on the line, Priscilla. We've got Professor Gerry Killeen with us from the School of Biological, Earth and Environmental Sciences at University College Cork. You've been perhaps amongst the most bearish when it comes to assessing the situation, Gerry. When you see the numbers going up to 307 yesterday, albeit a small number actually in hospital and a very small number in our intensive care units, where do you think we could be heading to by the end of the year?
Well, I think if you just extrapolate the current trend, which has been steady as a rock, really, for the last 2 months, then it takes us places we don't want to go, and it will require a response. We were promised a response when we got above 100 cases a day quite some time ago. We've been past that level for quite some time. So, you know, even without allowing for the effects of further relaxations, whether it be pubs, schools or colleges, you know, this trajectory demanded a response 2 months ago, and it's time we...
But sorry, where do you think this trajectory is taking us? I mean, how many cases a day do you think is it possible we could end up having?
Well, you know, even if we assume the current trends continue without accelerating, which is unlikely, then, you know, it's not so long ago. It was 2 months ago we had 10 cases a day. Now we're clearly over the 100 cases a day mark, so that's a tenfold increase. There's no reason it won't be another tenfold higher in 2 months and another tenfold higher 2 months after that. So that's 1,000 cases a day in 2 months from now and 10,000 cases a day by Christmas.
10,000 cases a day by Christmas? Seriously?
Well, please God, we don't ever get to that. And let's hope to God we all have the common sense to actually react. But the longer we wait, the bigger this problem is going to be to deal with. So I thought the time to act was weeks ago. And every day we delay is a couple of days longer it's going to take us to find our way out of this mess.
Okay, Priscilla Lynch, is anyone in official circles even contemplating the possibility of 1,000 cases a day, let alone 10,000 a day?
Well, it's quite possible that the cases will continue to rise, but I think just it should be pointed out that the majority of cases still still remain in those under the age of 45 who are at lower risk of complications, of being hospitalised and of dying. So they're all just factors. It's not just about a rough estimate of that we have 100 cases a day. It's what age group are these in? And again, about 70% to 75% each day are in those younger age brackets. The fear is just, will it tip over into the older age group, as has happened in some countries and in Florida, where it might start off the increase in the younger generations, but if it goes into the older generation, that's when we're in more trouble. So it's not just about the total numbers overall, and it's how well is our hospital capacity going to be able to deal with it. And also we have to balance as well the risk to the economy. So it's all about a balancing act. And we do know that we can react faster and better to the virus now than we did 6 months ago. And again, testing is key to this, because I know there's been concern with it, with schools going back, and some classes have been reported have been sent home because some people have tested positive. But there has been no school-associated outbreak reported yet, which is quite positive. It's very early days. It's just been individual cases of children testing positive where they most likely got the virus from family members or friends who were confirmed cases. So those are all factors to consider when we look at local lockdowns or the number of new cases that we're getting. And we are actually seeing a lot more asymptomatic cases as well being picked up as we've widened the testing net and testing close contacts of confirmed cases. So there is a lot of factors to consider.
Yeah, Professor Gerry Killeen, Priscilla mentioned the whole thing about the opening of pubs at the same time as the universities and colleges go back and the schools are back abreast. An awful lot of things happening at the one time. Now, even if we don't have local lockdowns for Dublin and Limerick, given that Dublin has so many third level institutions, Limerick has the University of Limerick and LIT, would it make sense perhaps to maybe not open the pubs in those particular cities and other places where there are large third level institutions, and not have them opening in the same week, maybe delay the pubs for another couple of weeks?
I don't think that would be enough. And I think the biggest mistake we've made in this pandemic response has been to look at the risks in isolation rather than look at how they interact. You know, we're trying to mitigate risks in universities, pubs, restaurants, schools, all that kind of thing. We turn big risks into small risks, but the problem is all those risks add small risks. They add up. We pushed across the tipping point into rock-steady exponential growth 2 months ago. We don't have any more room for further relaxations. And unfortunately for this virus, as opposed to something like SARS, a lot of the nuanced mechanisms we would rely on to mop up outbreaks afterwards just simply don't work for SARS-2, and there's two reasons for that. Well, the big one is asymptomatic transmission. So like since January, since the first expert reports came out of Wuhan, you know, asymptomatic transmission has been correctly described as a problem, not a solution. It causes lots of problems. It's what allowed this virus to walk to our airports. It's what allowed it to walk into our care homes. It is what is allowing it to walk into schools. And it is what makes it basically impossible to mop up entire outbreaks through retrospective contact tracing, because the virus can go through a sequence of people without making any of them ill. By the time somebody does get ill, you know, those chains are, they go back too far in time to contact trace comprehensively. They branch too early. And so you're always kind of mopping, you know, you're always trying to quench the fire, but some of those sparks have drifted far away and started fires
elsewhere.
Yeah, but
Gerry, you say you can't look at these things in isolation, but is there not a danger that you're looking at in a health isolation without taking the economic consequences into consideration? And you could bring other health issues in. You know, if you go for lockdowns and restrictions, the mental health issues that causes, the poverty and how that will impact on people, lack of contact. You know, surely you have to look at this at a much bigger overall picture.
I totally agreed, and those are actually my biggest concerns. I think if you look at New York as an example, you know, New York is doing the best job possible, I think, of a mitigation living with the virus strategy, and their problem is that this long, ongoing, chronic socioeconomic challenge is catching up with them. Crime is on the way up. You know, unemployment is on the way up. Poverty is on the way up. And, of course, this is still relatively early in the process. So my big concern is that by not recognizing the fact that there are only two choices, there isn't a third middle way, that we accidentally find ourselves on a long-term roller coaster of epidemic surges and restrictive lockdown reactions, and that don't take us anywhere, bring us back to the same decision points. And at some stage, we've got to run out of gas. I mean, I think I can't speak for everybody else in the country, but I'm knackered. I'm sure lots of other people feel the same way. Lots of people are feeling isolated. Lots of people have lost their jobs. Lots of people have been operating their businesses at a loss for much longer than they would like to. And can we go on like this? And if we can, how long can we go on for? Because, you know, there's no reason to believe it won't go on for a long time.
All right, Professor Gerry Killeen from University College Cork, Priscilla Lynch, clinical editor with the Medical Independent. Thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.